So we're talking about two issues. One is the we're dealing with the VA situation at the Buffalo VA, and this jobs report, 818,000 jobs, overinflated jobs. I mean, just unbelievable. Tom in Williamsville, though, you've got experience with the VA. Tell me what's going on over there.
To me, in the past few years, it's become 50-50. Half the services that I get are fantastic, and other halves, you know, you call to make an appointment. Oh, yeah, sure, we can make an appointment, and it's 2 months down the road, 6 weeks down the road, that kind of thing. And, you know, when you're dealing with potential cancer and things of that nature, it's a little scary. But like you were saying, you know, 5-10 years ago, things were different. Well, they were. 10 years ago, I thought, wow, this isn't my father's VA. And I was so happy with all the services. It was, I thought it was fantastic. But in the past couple of years, it's they seem to be more concerned about their woke agenda than taking care of the patients. And that's not all of them. I mean, for the most part, everything is going well. But, you know, you go in there and you see a doctor wearing a...
I mean, it was the same VA that, you know, was talking about the, what was it, post-World War II and the sailors kissing the nurse. And they thought that that was... do you remember that memo came out? They ended up killing this policy. But someone at Big VA had put out a memorandum that said, remove the famous photo of the sailor kissing the nurse because that's an unconsensual sexual act of aggression.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was like, oh, come on. I mean, stop. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, boys and girls don't like each other anymore. That's why.
But I mean, it's such an iconic image. It's so stupid. The whole thing is ridiculous.
Oh, and David, before I forget, I just wanted to tell you this, is that, you know, I'm a veteran, but I exaggerate when I say this, but I mean, the toughest thing I probably faced when I was in the military was harsh language. You know, I was an aircraft mechanic, that kind of thing. And when you got that Medal of Honor, I just wanted you to know that when I looked at that and I saw you getting that and the fact that you received it and what you did to get it, I looked back at myself and I said, you know what, if my job was the job that you had to receive that Medal of Honor, I just wish that, I hope and I pray that had I been in your shoes, I could have acted with the same kind of valor. So,
you know, Tom, I got to tell you, I run around and talk to people, I tell them all the time, I really believe in my heart, and, you know, again, there's no other reason to say it, but I think we all have, when we fight for something that we care about, I think that we all would see that same result. I really do. I'm part of a military that's 99%, you know, Medal of Honor capable. It's just the situation they find themselves
you got,
in.
You know, you don't know how you're going to act until you're there, and then you act. You
exactly.
Know? But
right.
That's
my life.
That's why I say that part.
I look at that and say I was raised by that. John Bassalone is a hometown hero in Buffalo, but every time, you know, we saw veterans growing up, they were my parents and my teachers, my whole town. They were pro America, pro veteran. No one got into fights over politics. It was like, you know, I disagree with you. You're a bum. Let's have a coffee. You know, everything is way too personal now.
Politics is, I find politics should be like ice cream. You pick the kind of ice cream that you absolutely hate. No matter how much of I stick down your throat, you're not going to like it. So, you know, that's how I look at it that way. But, you know, and as far as the VA, I mean, back to that, it's that, you know, you asked if you think that the removal of these people in charge, I think that's a great thing because whoever's taking their place is going to stop and think, okay, if I act like them, I'm going to lose my job too. So I'm hoping that...
Listen, it's the truth though, that, and I hate to, you know, what motivates people? Well, I mean, the old rub on government servants were they didn't work, they sat around, they collected money, it was impossible to get rid of them, they had great benefits, and they just occupied space for... And don't get me wrong, I've been to the old Buffalo VA, I saw those nicotine stained walls. They used to, you know, pry that off. There was like sludge in the Buffalo VA, in the Buffalo Federal Building. There was like one floor where you could smoke in it, and there was just sludge everywhere. And there'd be people that just lived in there. They moved from their little federal job to their federal smoking area and just had the best life. And I got to tell you, for the most part, that's changed at the VA. They're firing people. They're investigating people. They're self-reporting. These stories were broken by whistleblowers or, you know, someone at Channel 7 or 4 or whatever had a camera on. Now it's the VA saying, hey, we got a problem. I want to fix it.
Yeah, that's what they have to do. You know, you go in there, you're a veteran, and you go see this doctor wearing a Free Palestine button. Sorry, that doesn't work for me. And you see all these signs about pride and all this other stuff, and it seems to me it's more about the employees than it is about the vets. And it just bothers me that, you know, where you have to go somewhere where, you know, that they how do I say this? So that they're with the attitude of, you know, oh, you're here for us, you know, we, the VA, you exist for us. No, the VA exists for the veterans. And when I first started going there 10 years ago, that's what it felt like. Like, wow, these people really, they really care. And again, right now, for the most part, they do. But every once in a while, you just get a little bit of
it's the opposite feeling. It's the opposite feeling I have for the IRS, Tom. Never felt once that the IRS is here for me, you know?
You know, it's like when if you're doing, you know your audience, you know? So that's, and if the VA were to do that, I think it'll turn out.
The great irony is that the generation that built the VA, you know, the baby boomer, the VA that they got from World War II was not the VA that you see today. Now, everyone says to its detriment, maybe it's bit off way more than it can chew. There's not another department in the government that would do a home loan, education grants. You know, they do the inspections. They do a 100% soup to nuts healthcare, from mental to physical to you name it. They're doing, I mean, they're all over the place. The VA is like a behemoth of responsibilities. Some say it's too much. Well, you know, when they screw up, it becomes a problem. And that's an issue. But Tom, I appreciate your service. Thank you for what you've done for the country. Lisa in Depew, what do you think?
Yes. I'm recently retired a year ago from the VA. And I got to be honest with you, my whole career, you know, it wasn't perfect, but I wouldn't have spent it anywhere else. I got to be honest with you. Love taking care of our vets. But unfortunately, one of the reasons that I retired was because I walked in one day and I said, I can't do this anymore. Administration, management, you know, it's like everything takes an act of Congress, for God's sakes, to get anything done, you know, when you're trying to advocate for your veterans.
And so, you know, when you look at one of the reasons why these two guys are being investigated was predominantly, I mean, I don't want to extrapolate what you're saying, but along the lines of mismanagement and long wait times. And if you got people advocating for patients and they don't get a result or get a disposition, your patient could be waiting a long time for care.
Yeah. And, you know, and as a nurse, as an RN, it's like, who had been there many, many years and had many different positions, it was frustrating every single day. And the amount of stress that the staff goes through trying to advocate for our veterans, you know, which we wouldn't have jobs without them, you know, and was so frustrating that it just gets to the point where you just can't do this anymore, even though you want to. And I know both of these administrators personally, and I'm not surprised. I've got to be honest with you, because as a union member, we would have to go and stand in front of the director's door and to get him to even meet with us.
Wow. As far as, like, we talk about long wait times, what's an example of, you know, let's say you're dealing with a prostate condition, you know, you're under treatment, what is the type of treatment that would cause a long wait? Is it, you know, a medicine, or is it an evaluation? Is it a follow-on checkup? What are some of the things that they could be talking about with the long waits on cancer patients?
Honestly, across the country, the whole spectrum of services, we were one of the better VAs in the country. I got to be honest with you. So this must have been one thing that sparked somebody to really be upset, because I've not really dealt with all the years that I have been there with people waiting too long. So it's probably evaluation. It might be, you know, sending people out for care if they couldn't get them in timely.
Right.
Because they would do that quite frequently. There had to be something else to spark this.
What was the transparency like there if you were still working?
Yeah.
I mean, because first of all, I want people to retire that deserve, work their tail off and have given something. But I hate hearing about people that retire because a situation that they, an organization, a building, a group of people that they really loved and enjoyed what they did every day and made a difference. That's no longer fun, or that feels like, you know, you're being pushed out. That's a miserable way to end a career. And I look at the transparency of the VA. Did they facilitate, you know, whistleblowers to say, hey, this was a screw up, or we could do this better? Did you feel like you could stand up and say, I know a way to make things better?
Yeah. They did definitely encouraged it frequently. Never. I mean, I spoke out quite openly and honestly almost every day to a fault. So I'm kind of surprised, because we really, as far as retaliation, I've never heard of anyone at the VA, you know, get fired because of that. So they followed it very closely.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing is, I don't even remember stories 20 years ago where the VA would ever self-report a situation to Congress. I mean, there were stories of, like, the Arizona VA that were found out by people wearing hidden cameras. And, I mean, for the Buffalo VA to self-report that is pretty impressive.
Yeah. Well, it's getting more and more frequent. You know, people aren't willing to put up with bad behavior and dereliction of duties when it comes to people that, you know, have given everything for us. So I think that's a big thing.
Well, God bless you, Lisa. And how, what was the staff like? Did you have shortages of staff?
Are you kidding? Constantly. But, you know, I got off the floors many years ago, but that was part of the thing, because it you get older and it's harder to work, you know, on your feet all the time, especially when you're short. But it's like every place else. Yeah, of course. And they had a hiring freeze until just the other day, when Congress finally passed something, you know, to unlock the hiring freeze. So, and that's been going on a couple of years. So, you know, what are you going to do?
It's a tough job. Lisa, we appreciate you. Yep. Thank you for serving at
appreciate
the VA and all that you've done for veterans. God bless, Lisa. Carol West Seneca, your husband was in the VA. How was your experience with the Buffalo VA?
Well, let's put it this way. When we first got married, our experience with the VA was very bad. I didn't like the people in administration, and they did all the paperwork. I didn't trust them at all. There's one good person there, fantastic patient advocate, great. Now, our problem right now is pain management. Every time you go there, they have a different doctor. My husband had to go outside, was outsourced for surgery, because there's no doctor that does that particular surgery. And I just called to have an appointment for him. Well, I had to change it because I had COVID. And I got a new appointment, and they gave it to me like 60 days out. And I said, no, I need it within 30 days. And they said, well, we can't do it. And I said, fine, then outsource me. Did you know that 2 days later they called me back, not nicely, but they called me back and gave me an appointment for in another couple of weeks, so we're within the 30 days?
All you have to do is tell them to outsource you, and they have to?
They have to. Anything over 30 days, they have to outsource you. And that is their rules. And I read everything there. You know, when I go in there, I see something new on the wall, I sit there and read it, because I want to know what's going on. Because they're not going to pull the wool over my eyes again. I fight for my husband.
Sometimes it's easier.
And he gets upset. But he gets what he needs. And they've been very, very good. We have some wonderful people there. And we have some people that I like to take them, especially in the administration office. The girls that answer the phone, nastiest people going.
Well, that's horrible to hear. But Carol, I wanted to hear people's experiences, and I do appreciate you sharing yours. But the people like Carol, if you're blessed with the partners you select, but you know, when it comes to having a caregiver or someone that's looking out for you, having that advocate and having an advocate that takes it seriously enough to know the different rules and everything else, that's a combat multiplier. It really is. Good on you, Carol. I appreciate you for taking care of the people that you love that have served our country. But that's a game changer, right? That's a game changer. Larry is in Buffalo. Larry, you are a cancer patient at the VA. I'm sorry to hear that.
Okay, go out in your garden. Take a look at your garden.
Larry, you there?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
No problem. You said you were you're dealing with cancer and you go to the VA?
Right, and I'm an active patient there. I've been going there actually over 5 years, the clinic.
So, have you noticed a difference as far as like how long you had to wait for treatment or anything like that?
Well, first let me say up front, I'm not naming names. Let me say up front that the staff there, the doctors and the nurses, are outstanding. In the clinic, they're outstanding. So any issues from my viewpoint are management issues, not the workers there in the clinic.
Understood. And I'm glad you made that statement. Thank you.
Yeah. What I've seen is they're about 50% straight on doctors. Which, and they only have a couple doctors to begin with, so they're about 50% straight. So I think they're supposed to have about four. I think they got two. Well, obviously that's going to hurt, right? And they've been short one doctor for over 2 years.
Wow,
that's a long time.
If you can't have the doctors, you can't do the treatment. And people, if you have more cancer patients, they're all going to have to wait. And the screenings and everything else, they don't stop.
Yeah. They double them up. That's what they do. They put two people on in one appointment. Nah.
So when they say a wait time, what type of a wait time are we talking about?
I've never had a problem with wait time. It was usually about 4 to 6 weeks between appointments. Because considering they're short on staff, that's not too bad.
Right. 50%.
I've gotten referrals to Roswell for radiation because they do not do radiation at the VA. They got to outsource that. I think one of the problems, this is my own opinion now, this is just my opinion, it's the connection between people trying to get outsourcing appointments outside the VA and appointments. They try to keep things in-house. I mean, they beat on the baseball head, keep everything in-house. You know, we want our own money. We want our $100 bills in our pocket, not Oswell's. They won't tell you that, but I off the record, I've been told that by employees.
Larry, excellent. Larry, first of all, I'm sorry to hear you're struggling fighting cancer, but I really appreciate this phone call and really a window into what you got to go through on a daily basis. Thank you for your service and get well soon.
Okay, very good.
Appreciate it, Larry. We got more VA patients and veterans on hold. 803-0930. I want to know just what your Buffalo VA experience has been like. We heard about this complaint. These two guys are being investigated. They've been relieved. Chief of staff, director of operations. I mean, these are big deals, right? What does that mean for you, and what was your experience like?